Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 356. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday. It's a live Bloom Board Tuesday. Pitcher leaderboards coming your way over the last 30 days, and some names you'd expect and some others that maybe snuck up on you a little bit there with like a ton of news, as it's been the streets are red in fantasy baseball these days. We'll get you covered there and much, much more. But before that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Oh, not too bad for a Tuesday evening with you, Bubba. Always enjoy these meetings, these bi-weekly calls with you. Yeah, man, lengthy news section. Lengthy news section. It has been, since we last spoke, it has been absolute carnage. And at this point, misery loves company. Bring it on. More injuries, the better is now my new stance. It's just crazy what's been going on.
Yeah, I don't mind it when it's at least before Fab runs, but the last 2 days post lock stuff has been
by a thousand cuts after Fab, with like Tuesday lock madness. You know, Mariners beat, you know, three different Mariners beat reporters reporting three different things. Angel Martinez, I know you were venting about that one earlier. So it's not even just the JRAM, the Vinny P stuff. It's just a lot of this little stuff after lock too.
Yep. I was just trying to relax this weekend and not worry about stuff. And then every time I'd look at my phone and look at the Discord and see, good Lord, he's dead this time around. It was like, I didn't get news out on Saturday.
You're playing golf Saturday. You were like, I can't even drink and play golf and enjoy myself.
I can't even enjoy myself. When I see Vinny P and JRAM, who I have on so many teams, I'm like, God, this is just like, it's been a pretty decent start to the year. And now it's like, okay, it's like the old, diehard gif. Welcome to the party, pal. So it's my turn to kind of try to hang around on this one. Great Christmas movie, by the way. It's rough out there, but we'll get you guys caught up as usual.
It's rough for everyone. That's what I mean. It's what you always have to keep saying, right? Sometimes it hits you harder than most, sometimes it doesn't, as we are starting to see Fab activity go down a little bit as that other sport creeps up into closer into the rear view. The more injuries that there are, you know, the more opportunities to keep going and keep doing it. There are other teams in your league, every other team in your league that is dealing with similar type crap. So it's just even more reason to keep going, even though that sounds counterintuitive and a little bit sick as a fantasy baseball degenerate.
Oh, there'll be no quitting around these parts. There's no doubt about that. The fight goes on, as they say. So there's no doubting that. And Ben and I on the Fab recap, there was a lot of interesting names, but now it makes sense when you keep seeing all these injuries of why these guys are getting added. And we'll see where the train keeps going on that. Let's get to some of these news and notes from around baseball. We hinted at it, but just kind of want to talk about it some more, because it's not just the injury so much as it adds up. So it depends on who can you hold, who, like stash wise, so on and so forth. We have roughly 3 months of the season to go, give or take, like 3.5 months. Depends on how you want to do your math around here. JRAM obviously went on the IL with a hamstring injury, had his surgery. They announced on Tuesday, and we got 5 to 7 weeks. And I'm not saying you're dropping JRAM, but now we're talking, you're say it's 2 months, you're in the middle of August now when JRAM returns. And that's when things get very, very interesting.
That is when things get interesting. You always wonder how, you know, is the power going to snap back right away? I agree. I know you've got JRAM in many spots. I know that. I think you're Vegas auction team, right?
Yes, that team. Yes, that one. They have Vinny P as well, has DeLauder who as well, had Angel Martinez as well, if you want me to keep going with that. Yeah, it's been awesome. Absolutely amazing.
In my 112 team where I have JRAM, I haven't even thought about dropping him either. So I will just hold it and wait and hope it's not the longer end of that. I think like a kind of a snap, not in terms of even just like replacements for JRAM, because I don't know, Gabriel Arias came off the IL, played today against a lefty. That ain't it. The Cleveland lineup, man, it is it is atrocious now with no J-Ram. Angel Martinez is on our rundown here. He's going to miss a bunch of time. Chase DeLauder has been quieter lately slash injured as well. To me, Cleveland is trending into stream against territory, and maybe that's more of a fab show type of rundown, but this lineup, man, is brutal. They're now having to fill two starting spots, and they just Cleveland does not have the horses to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a stream against spot. And I'll bring it up on now since we're talking Cleveland. Angel Martinez landed on the IL with a fractured his left foot in his left foot. And there's no timetable for his return, but obviously you need your foot to be healed to be able to run and do things in baseball. Not a scientist, and not stay at a Holiday Inn on this one. But yeah, he's going to be, I imagine, at least a month, if not two, for Angel Martinez. And we'll get more information before Fab locks. He's been very, very good. Second base outfield's been awesome. He's hitting for some pop. He's doing a little bit of everything, which is a real bummer to see here. But you mentioned Gabriel Arias is filling in for J-Ram the best that works. Like, we see Daniel Steeman is in, he's playing around the infield. But like on Tuesday, you had David Fry in right field, Stuart Fairchild in center field, and Stephen Kwan in left field. To your point, you can stream events against these guys, but there's no replacements on that roster. You're going to have to go elsewhere. Luckily, if you're using Angel in the outfield, you can find options there.
Yeah. Agreed on the lack of replacements on Cleveland. You gotta look elsewhere.
What would the timeline have to be to hold Angel Martinez, I guess, for you? Because you don't have any shares, probably, I'm guessing. But in the back of your mind, is it a month? Is it 2 weeks? Like, I'm probably dropping him because I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I'm probably dropping him in my theoretical scenario where I have Angel Martinez. I probably have two other injuries on that team that I'm trying to hold in this team that does not exist. But yeah, you gotta draw the line somewhere. For simplicity, since they're on the same team, we just talked about them, J-Ram versus Angel Martinez holds. It's obviously J-Ram. So that you're holding and Angel Martinez is, if you've run really pure, you have no other injuries or whatever. Sure. But I think you drop and move on, try and pick him back up. Try and pick Angel Martinez back up as we learn to not use the word he on a podcast. You try and pick Angel Martinez back up in 2-3 weeks. You could do that as well.
Maybe we'll do a whole show with just he the entire show and see how that one goes. But
there we go. That could be a nice little side challenge for us. I'm up for it.
Would be the opposite of what we do each and every show. All right. Vinny P also handmade injury on the same day J-Ram went out. So Vinny P on the IL, he has not had surgery yet. I'm assuming swelling issue is the only reason why he has not had surgery, because you want that done as quickly as possible. Usually it's 4 to 6 weeks. We just saw 5 to 7 for J-Ram. Jack Caggs is moving to first base a bit, not every game, but a bit. So he might get first base eligibility in a few weeks. Salvi Perez has played some first base. So there'll be a lot of mixing and matching in Kansas City. Again, you're not changing anything there, but thoughts on the Vinny P injury?
Just a disappointing year that ends. And I do think you definitely drop Vinny P at this point. I guess we'll see what the timeline is post surgery, but to me, it kind of doesn't really matter. We know it's going to be lengthy. And again, Vinny P wasn't really that good this season anyway. Troubles are brewing. Kansas City hasn't been the best lineup there. Depending on, is Mikel Garcia in the rundown? Is he okay?
I didn't put him in because he left. I only have ILs pretty much on the rundown, okay, which we have plenty of. Yeah, Mikel Garcia left the game on Tuesday, so we'll see how that pans
this
out
could in
the
be, coming game. Yeah, in my never-ending quest to find teams to stream bad pitchers against, the Royals probably were already there, but without Vinny P now and potentially without Mikel Garcia, we'll see, maybe jumping the gun there. This suddenly turns into a pretty rough lineup.
We're back to streaming against the AL Central all of a sudden. Like, yep, the good old days. Chasco in the chat here has a question about the Guardian situation. With the lineup being so bad, does that mean that it's a downgrades the pitchers like Bybee and Messick? It probably downgrades their chances to win, but in a world where pitching is so bad, it doesn't really downgrade them a whole lot else, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's a downgrade, but to me, it's not meaningful enough to, you know, start benching those guys or something. It's splitting hairs, in my opinion.
Which I would not know much about. Spencer Strider.
Yeah, split those.
Yeah, split those. Spencer Strider went on the IL with elbow inflammation. Went and saw the good Dr. Keith Meister, and they're shutting him down for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Then they're going to reevaluate, reimage in 4 weeks. Start ramping up. The Braves themselves even said you're looking at a mid-August to early September return for Spencer Strider, who, let's be honest, hasn't even been like elite or even that special at times, Spencer Strider. So I'm dropping him if I had him, but I never drafted him in the first place.
Same. I think this is an RIP type situation for Spencer Strider, who, even if this same Strider comes back for a month and a half, he hasn't been the Strider of old. So what are you actually getting? Strider, you can move on, unfortunately.
Yep, full agree on that one. Let's go to Daniel Palencia, who was pitching late on Monday night. The trainer looks at him, comes out, looks at him, says, oh, he's good. Let's him go and throw 99 again. On Tuesday, Palencia is placed on the IL with right elbow inflammation. We'll obviously undergo further testing to see how all that pans out. But he's on the IL. Depends on where you look. Like Jacob Webb's got a lot of late inning work of late. We remember the days of Caleb Thielebar, Ryan, even Phil Maton.
He's back.
Like to get for a buck. So yeah, I obviously want to wait and see how the week plays out. But what are your thoughts on this? Because hopefully by Sunday we have a lot more information.
Yeah, as I was just lamenting yesterday, the fact that Daniel Palencia has a 2.70 ERA on a semi-decent team, like a winning record team, the Cubs. And just three saves is just unbelievable bad closer luck. I know Palencia missed a good chunk of time, but still, this team, the Cubs in general, I believe had to have 10 saves total as a team all year. So it's almost just like, is this, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze between what I think will be Jacob Webb versus Caleb Thielebar? I think Webb's the better pitcher. Thielebar seemed to be the guy the last time Palencia was hurt, though that lasted, I think, one or two appearances before Thielebar went to the IL himself. One's a righty, one's a lefty. Webb's the righty, so it could just be matchup based. Who knows? Palencia, do we have a timeline?
No.
We holding Palencia?
No timeline.
Yeah, I think we got to hold until we have a timeline, but that's it's rough.
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything good to come out of this, but I at least want to hear an answer before I start pulling the pin on that. I have him at a couple spots, and quite the bummer, especially for a guy, let's not forget, Ryan, that thanks to the WBC skyrocketed up ADP. Like, he was the cheap guy for a while and then cost a lot come the end of draft season.
So. Yeah. And yeah, the big reason to fade Palencia was, well, really by the end of draft season, was the price was kind of getting crazy. But this was someone who has had injury concerns in the past, throws really hard. Like, again, not trying to predict injury for pitchers because they eventually all get hurt, but that was in my opinion the case against Palencia, and it turns out that that panned out. I just still think like he should have gotten probably 10-12 saves this season instead of three. Like he pitched fine, pitched well. Just the Cubs didn't fall into enough save opportunities for Palencia to be able to do it.
Yes. There's a pitcher with four saves that's not pitching in baseball anymore. Do you know who that is right now?
That would be Mr. Jordan Romano.
Yes. Jordan Romano has more saves than Daniel Palencia, which is
wild
to think about. All right, Christian Scott of the Mets was supposed to have a two-step this week, but on Monday, after Fab, the Mets announced that Christian Scott was going on the IL with right hip impingement. Yes, Christian Scott has not been elite by any means, but he's been extremely serviceable. And they're saying it's a minor injury. It's really like they didn't even tell you it was a hip at first. They said, oh, he's on the IL with a minor injury. He'll be back like at the minimum. Hip impingement. We'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, we will see how that plays out. Very, very much unfortunate. Speaking of unfortunate, sounds like the Mets are going with Tobias Myers, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, he got beat up on Monday. Yes.
Got just destroyed. I think 7 runs in less than 2 innings.
Yep. And then Kodai Senga came back on Tuesday. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, so it's times are tough. Senga didn't, I don't think, look that great.
No, 4 runs over 4 innings with 4 walks and 5 Ks, I believe.
Yeah, so it's brutal. One guy we are going to talk about this evening is Sean Manaea. I know I've been kind of pumping him the captain of the reverse piggyback, since now we have entire rotation piggybacks in the news. Manaea is kind of the OG of that, but he is pitching very well lately. And again, just rotation role wise, Sean Manaea's spot in that rotation is absolutely safe above Senga and Tobias.
Yep, totally with you there. An interesting one, Elly De La Cruz had imaging done on his hamstring. I said it's 90% healed, so he's going to start a rehab assignment on Friday. That seems like good medical practices to me, but what do I know? So you should get Elly back, hopefully, early next week, it looks like.
Yeah, it's like the Chris Farley gif where you smile and then you suddenly don't, because, yeah, you see Ellie's on a rehab assignment and then you see he's still only 90%. So, yeah, why not just wait for that last 10%? I don't know what I'm doing, but...
I just remember with the Reds, like they kept bringing Jonathan India back with his hamstring injuries and he'd re-injure him like the next week all over again.
What a pull. Like,
just let him heal. Let him heal. Trent Grisham, speaking of hamstring injuries, landed on the IL on Monday with a hamstring injury. On Tuesday, Aaron Boone said it's a mid-hamstring strain and he'll miss multiple weeks. So keep that in mind, because I didn't put it on the rundown, but Giancarlo Stanton re-aggravated his calf injury and is going to get imaging. And Stanton himself said it hurt just as bad, if not worse, as when he first injured it. And imaging is a good idea right now. So it looks like you might get the youngsters in the outfield for a while.
There is playing time to be had in the corner outfield or at least right field and center for the Yankees. Jason Dominguez has started, and not only started, but hit second and third against a lefty and righty since coming off the IL. I think he got his tooth pulled today.
He got a tooth pull on Tuesday, so he was available off the bench.
Okay. But I would think Jason Dominguez finally gets some run. And then your boy.
Yes, sir.
Who I know is just going to go off now.
Get another home run on Tuesday.
I am well aware. your boy being Spencer Jones.
Brandon Lau off of Jose Alvarado. Look at that.
Ooh, Elvis, I think.
Oh, sorry, Elvis. Alvarado, yeah. It didn't matter. It was a home run. Who cares?
As long as he didn't fab Jose.
Yeah.
But no, Spencer Jones, at least strong side platoon. I don't know what the Yankees schedule lines up to be or whatever. We'll look at that Thursday for the following week. But the guy's got some run. We've covered Spencer Jones multiple times on this pod. He was a pickup in Fab. Tons of swing and miss, but tons of power. And I think now it's going to get a chance to see what he can do with all these injuries for the Yankees. So fully expect Spencer Jones to just go off and Bubba to remind me about that every time he does.
Looks like a lot of lefties potentially next week, but then it lightens up after that. I'm just kind of tongue in, like, I hope he goes off, but I also I liked it to poke the bear because everyone's a Martian fan, it feels like, and then everyone points to the 41% K rate, which I agree, that's not going to be a good thing for sustained success. But my point is he has come back after the last stint at the minors, and he's looked like a much better hitter at the plate. Like, so swing and miss still exists, but he looks much more contact as well. So we'll see what happens.
I think I even support, actually, yeah, I think I supported you and made a little, a small Bryce Eldridge comp with yes. Spencer Jones, just in
young
terms of like,
can make adjustments. It's amazing how it works.
Exactly. They aren't, it's not a direct comp, but that type of young player, second go around, or, you know, in Eldridge's case, you know, seeing pitch for the second time, whatever. These guys can improve. So we'll see.
Yeah, and Jones is a lot cheaper. Well, that's nice. Cooper Pratt of the Milwaukee Brewers was promoted on Tuesday, made his MLB debut, went 0 for 3, made an error. So welcome to the bigs night. But the point I want to make here, Ryan, is the Brewers flat out said he is their primary shortstop and that David Hamilton and Joey Ortiz will man third base for the time being, because the man, let's pour one out for our homie, Luis Rengifo, was DFA'd to make room for Cooper Pratt.
Yeah, brings me back to our Candlelight Vigil episode.
One of our best moments.
Like, I actually, I don't know, man, not to get too dark here on this fine Tuesday evening. Like, have we seen the last of Major Leaguer Luis Rengifo?
Possibly.
Like, he's not a good real life player.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
He should have come up and said hi to me in Anaheim. It all went downhill from there.
It kind of was the nadir of his MLB career arc. I hope he can land somewhere, but we'll see. Ringifo aside, sharing third base for Jordy Ortiz and David Hamilton, not great, though. Jordy Ortiz hasn't even played third base yet, so let's see kind of how that shakes out. They are lefty-righty, so I'm assuming that's just going to be a platoon. Cooper Pratt, we'll see, right? We're going to have a full week to kind of see what Cooper Pratt can do, just scouting the stat line here, right? 6 homers, 17 homers at AAA. Really good contact skills, good plate skills that hopefully will translate well. I don't think the power is there. It's a 3% barrel rate for Cooper Pratt at AAA. That's really bad. Exit velocity was 84.5 miles an hour. That's also really bad. But dude can run. Dude can make contact. So decent batting average / stolen base upside there for Cooper Pratt. I just wouldn't expect many, if any, home runs from him.
Yeah, I'm not over the moon for Cooper Pratt, but with injuries these days, it might be what you're looking for. Last one here happened late tonight. Randy Rosarena landed on the aisle with a lower back injury, lower back inflammation. We'll see how that one pans out. It seems minor for the fact that he was supposed to actually stick around and be day to day. So I'm hoping it's a minor situation. MRI didn't reveal anything too crazy, but just something to keep in mind. You're not dropping Randy Rosarena.
This sounds minimum, and just Seattle, they need healthy bodies. They literally called some dude up from Everett, high A, right? Single A.
High A Everett to give him a pulse until Connor Joe probably gets there on Wednesday.
They literally had one bench player, healthy bench player, Mitch Garber, entering the game tonight on Tuesday night. So, like, Luke Rayleigh's been hurt. Josh Naylor's been hurt. So, I really think the Rosarena, like, he could probably come back in 2-3 days, but I think the Mariners just need the roster spot. So Rosarena is certainly not a cut. I would expect him to be back after he misses the minimum.
Question I have for you, though. In their starting lineup, against a right-handed pitcher, they benched Luke Rayleigh and had Rob Refsnyder in the lineup. Anything to say about that, out of curiosity?
Rayleigh was banged up.
Okay.
I would not read into that at all.
Perfect. Good to know. Because I'm like, that surprised me.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yes. Rob Refsnyder can, I'm being even nice saying he can only hit lefties. I'm not even sure can do that.
Not even that good, but yes, it's about all he can do.
Hate to besmirch my fellow Arizona Wildcat alum, but yeah, I think Rob Refsnyder was healthy tonight, and thus he was given a starting gig.
Gotcha. All right, that wraps up our over-the-top, long, lengthy set of news. Let's get to the live Bloom Boards. Ryan, pitching last 30 days. What are we looking at here?
All right, so this is a set of three Bloom Boards that are part of this kind of larger live Bloom Boards tool. It's available to anyone who wants to support the show by subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Among the many tools, Bubba's write-ups for daily news and fab. This is one of the things that you get. It's basically a bunch of pre-built Bloom Boards. There's like 5 tabs of these. It's a Google Sheet that are updated every day. You can kind of keep a running tab of hitters, pitchers, last 30 days, teams, last 30 days, those types of things to kind of keep your finger to the pulse of what's changing over what is a long, long major league season. So this is just a snippet of the last 30-day pitcher tab in that live Bloom Boards tool. The set of the three boards that we're going to talk about tonight, and we'll just kind of hop around a little bit. Some players are on multiple boards, which we will highlight, which is always a good thing. But the first board is the biggest risers and fallers in just straight strikeout minus walk rate, our go-to, over the last 30 days. So you get the top, top 15, 10? I can't count. I should probably know off the top of my head.
10.
Top 10 and bottom 10. Over the last 30 days in strikeout minus walk rate. Same with fastball velocity. I always like to keep an eye on who is gaining, who is falling in terms of fastball velo. And then the third board is who has changed their pitch mix up the most over the last 30 days, just in terms of raw usage. I'm looking at the last 30 days, how often they're using pitches in that span versus before. taking those absolute value differences, adding him up over the Arsenal and putting a score on there. So we'll talk additional context on that one once we get there. But those are the three boards: K minus walk, velocity, and pitch mix change over the last 30 days.
Yep, always good ones to get the discussion started on certain players. So we'll start on the K to walk board. We'll start at the top in Dustin May. This one tilts me to no end because I remember probably about a month ago when I started saying, okay, things are starting to turn in the right direction. You can start streaming him, but play the matchups with Dustin May. So I was not aggressive in Fab, and I really wish I was now, because over the last 30 days, we've seen a guy go from a whopping of 10% K to walk before and 28% the last 30 days, was an 18% increase. He's coming off a shutout with one walk and nine Ks against the Padres, which helps. Six shutout innings with a walk and six Ks against the Mets. But it's more importantly, he's just really calmed down the walks, and the Ks are up a ton, which makes you want to dig in a little more on him. But love what we're seeing from Dustin May. It's been one of those we've never really seen the swinging strike and strikeout skills develop from the pitching ninja guru in Dustin May. But right now he's putting it together in that pitching school of St. Louis, who they tend to do this with guys right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of, to me, this is pretty wild. Like, and I actually, one of the few things that have gone well with my Vegas auction is I think Dustin May in the reserve round, almost dropped him, like, after a couple bad starts to the season.
He had 13 runs in his first two starts.
Yeah, so, like, I probably should have dropped him.
It's been 3 runs or less in all but one start since then. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, it's nuts. You mentioned the jump in Ks, so the one level deeper that I always look at is there a jump in whiffs that supports that? Sure enough, for Dustin May, the swinging strike over the last 31 days is 14%. That is elite on the season. It's 10%. So a big jump in whiffs. You mentioned the control improvements as well. Big improvement in strikes thrown as well. The ball rate 34% for Dustin May this season. League average is 36. So that's already a pretty good ball percentage for Dustin May. Over the last 30 days, it's been 30% ball rate, which is elite. So, like, your one level deeper metrics, the swinging strike and the ball rate for Dustin May are right there. I tried to look at, like, pitch mix change. Is there a velocity bump? I don't see any of that. Like, there's always going to be a little bit of changes in pitch mix, just depending on, you know, lefty righty and who you're throwing and whatever. But I don't really see anything at that level. Maybe there's some stuff, improvement, movement, whatever. AVV, VAA, haven't gone that deep, but the numbers that I look at are all just super impressive. What Dustin May has done over the last 30 days, it looks like he's mid breakout. And then the last thing, I know I've kind of been going on here, but is you always wonder about the injuries with Dustin May, the workload. Did throw 132 innings for Dustin May last year, already at 81 this year, but, like, he can go 150, 160. It wouldn't be so crazy to think out, you know, in terms of, like, a jump in workload from what Dustin May did last season. So I don't know, man. This is random as hell, but everything checks out beneath the hood, as they say, for Dustin May.
Yeah, I'm really curious if he's still a Cardinal after the trade deadline. That'd be my question. He has a mutual option next year. This could be one of those where they try to cash in and see where things go, which would make sense if you're the Cardinals. But yeah, really good stuff. I'd run this one till the wheels fall off and then jump ship. Next one we'll discuss here. This is a pitcher that Ben Tidd, if you know that the Braveheart GIF that just says hold, that's been Ben when it comes to Bubba Chandler. He's been like team Bubba, not me, Bubba Chandler, for quite some time, and it's showing in recent production. Bubba Chandler had a 3% K to walk before the last 30 days. It's been up to 20% over the last 30 days, giving him 17% differential on that one. And we're seeing a guy that the outings are still, like, inconsistent is the best way I'll say it. He's not going six innings. It's always like 5 to 5 2/3. But we're seeing improvements, and the walks have been two or less in the last four outings, 5 or more Ks out of 3 out of 4. He had 11 Ks on May 22nd. That's a big factor in the discussion we're having right now. But it's one of those, you said, is Dustin May maybe in a mid-breakout? Bubba Chandler's 23. Bubba Chandler's a guy that I think we all thought was going to be really good. Didn't get his chance last year. Horrific start to the season, but they stuck with him. Maybe things are going in the right direction right now.
Yes, they definitely are. And yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Bubba Chandler, eventually it will start clicking for him. I, you know, will it be 2026, 2027? Who knows? Just given how atrocious the start was, it could be clicking now. The interesting thing with Bubba Chandler, if you're following along, watching this on our YouTube channel, and like and subscribe if you are. I know we never say that, but it does help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, if you move your eyes to the rightmost board, the pitcher with the second biggest change in pitch mix over the last 30 days is Bubba Chandler. So more curveballs and more sliders for Chandler, fewer four seamers. So that's making that work from a whiff standpoint. That really, the curveball is a new pitch. Like, he barely even threw it in April, and then it's now up to 10-11% usage so far, a couple starts in June. So this is something where Chandler has made a tweak to the approach. The Pirates have made a tweak to Chandler's approach, however you want to put it, and it's working out. And that's when I get really excited, is when, like, yes, there's a change in skill, but now there's also like a change in approach that kind of supports and coincides with that. Now, of course, right, adjust to the adjustments. Hitters going to be aware of what's coming with these more secondary pitches from Bubba Chandler, but it's just nice to see him go to that slider curve more often, fewer four seamers, and it's working out quite nicely for him.
Yeah, it's been great to see, and it's one of those, like, if you were patient, it's looks like it might pan out in a big way in the second half, but we'll see. I like to see him go deeper into baseball games. That would be a nice start from him, but baby steps. Yeah. Jack Flaherty, I don't want to talk a lot about Jack. He's on the IL, but he has been dang good over the last 30 days when it comes to K to walk percentage. He's still giving up his runs, still doing his thing, but it's improved 16% over the last month, up to 24% K to walk in the last 30 days. If you want to talk about him, we can, but I don't have much on Captain Jack.
No, just crappy timing. Crappy timing for the IL stint, but should be back somewhat. It's an ankle, right? So,
well, it's weird. It was an ankle, but then they've characterized it as a lat injury. So I don't know where we're going.
I thought it was an ankle.
Yeah, he rolled his ankle in the game, but when they put him on the IL, it was a lat injury. And so that's where I got very confused with what is exactly happening with Captain Jack.
Confused and concerned. Dazed and confused and concerned.
Which, welcome to my 9-to-5 life. But, I'm pretty sure is what they said it was. I'll look it up later. I'm 99% sure they talked about a lat injury with him. All right. This one I do want to talk about, though. And this is Reed Detmers, a guy that for years – many of us have been very excited about him, but the inconsistencies have killed us. But right now, Reed Detmers has been outstanding this season, and I'm not saying that using that word lightly. He had a 17% K to walk early on, 31% K to walk over the last 30 days. That's a 15% increase. You take a 15% K to walk for most of your pitchers, let alone an increase to 31%. Yeah. Detmers' control has been much, much better this season. He has 97 Ks with 24 walks over 81 innings going into tonight's game. He threw 7 shutouts tonight with no walks and only 3 Ks, but still, the no walks is the important part I like to see with Reed Detmers. He continually does this start after start, and we kind of like talked about it briefly, and Burks has mentioned it with Mike Maddux and Tommy Soriano. We saw Albert Urania. They still have holes. Not going to deny that. Detmers has kind of erased the hole for now, Ryan, and it's been very impressive to watch.
He really has. I know I've been waiting for this way too long and been burned by Detmers in the past. Probably we all have.
Well, they put him in the bullpen last year when we were like, come on, do it. And
I know. It's kind of nuts. So I've got an article out for Baseball HQ tomorrow, Speculator, kind of looking at something similar in terms of the last 30 days, jumps in swing, strike, and ball rate. Reed Detmers has been like, not only one of the best improvers, but like one of the best pitchers in baseball. Over the last month, there are 4 pitchers in baseball with 4 starts, a 15% swinging strike, and a ball rate below 35%. All right, 4 pitchers. One of them is Detmers, of course, or else I would not be saying this list. It'd be kind of weird if I just listed 4 other random pitchers, nothing to do with Detmers. So he is one of them. I won't bury the lead. The other 3 are The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, Christopher Sanchez, and Bryce Miller. Pretty good company. Pretty good company for Reed Detmers, who right now is, again, pitching like an absolute ace and pitching like one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, can he hold this up? I don't know. He kind of doesn't have to, though, to be an effective SP2, honestly, on a lot of squads. So, you do kind of wonder what is the last 2 months of Reed Detmers look like, given he was in the rotation, or sorry, in the bullpen last season. So it will be a workload spike. But I think he threw like 150, 160 innings back in 2024. So I think he can, like, I feel like we can expect Detmers to kind of hold this together pretty deep.
The Angels don't have a choice
into the season. And yeah, you're right. Who else are the Angels? Maybe your guy, Caden Dana, but no, they're gonna push Detmers.
They need him now with Detmers still pitching. There's a difference.
They can send down Urena before you know that. You stop before that.
Okay, there goes perfect game coming up, folks. Ryan just gave it to you.
Like, he just loves to ruin
that one.
Anyway,
yeah, Detmers absolutely awesome stuff there.
Actually, Burks predicts that the Angels will trade Detmers, and he'll be pitching another city the last 2 months, which would make sense, actually.
They should. We talked about Matthew Liberatore on the Fab show. He's been much better in the K to walk. The results are still not there yet, but the skills are improving, so hopefully the rest of it follows. Noah Cameron. I want to talk about Noah Cameron. This one has to really be painful for Ryan. He had a 12% K to walk early on, 23% over the last month, an 11% jump for Noah Cameron. Allowed 4 runs in his last start, which is pretty abysmal. But prior to that, it was 3 earned runs or less in about 6 straight starts. And more importantly, no walks, 1 walk, 2 walks, no walks. He's got 7 or more Ks in 3 out of his last 4. We're seeing a slight improvement from Noah Cameron. And I don't know. I like what I'm seeing here. Is this sustainable? $1 million question. But he's got a swinging strike to kind of back it up. So it's an interesting profile right now.
It is, and we do have a little bit of a change in mix for Noah Cameron. He's now throwing his changeup more than any pitch, throwing the changeup 26% of the time, and the changeup for Cameron this season has been really good. It's a 15% swinging strike on it, and it is 40% ground ball rate. So more changeups, fewer four seamers for Noah Cameron over the last month, throwing more sinkers as well. So trying to get those ground balls up, but yeah, nice little tweak to the mix. Anytime you throw fewer four seamers, that was by far his most thrown pitch, over 30% first 2 months of the season, to kind of mix that up with more changeups, a few more curveballs as well. Seeing a little bit of a different approach from Noah Cameron, and it's taking off. I don't know. It is Noah Cameron. I don't think the ceiling is crazy high, but
there it is.
Yeah, I can't totally, knob the guy for 2 minutes. I do have to come back to my senses and say that it's Noah Cameron. Upcoming schedule for Noah Cameron, quite nice. June 18th faces the Cardinals, and then at the Rays, and then at home against the Rays. So kind of like that.
Did you happen to see that on the weekly planner, Ryan?
I did happen to pull that up. Another tool.
Pitching part of the weekly planner. Yes. All right, Joe Ryan, we can skip past him. He's still pretty dang awesome. Not a whole lot to hide there. I want to talk about our boy who you and I were both ready to write off about a month ago. Yeah. Sonny Gray is starting to come back to where we can enjoy life again. His 9% K to walk rose to 19% over the last 30 days. That's a 10% jump for Sonny Gray, the 8th best over the last 30 days. And this is correlated with some much-needed success. It's been one earned run or less in every start since April 20th. So like the runs have never been an issue for him this year. It's been just racking up strikeouts, and that has come in bunches. 7 or more strikeouts in 3 of his last 5 starts. The swinging strike rate, Ryan, it's back. It's back, baby. So what are you seeing with Sonny Gray?
No, this is very nice to see, because actually for the first month of the season, at least until he got hurt in that Patriots Day game, I'll never forget that one. Sonny Gray was like one of the worst pitchers in baseball from a skill standpoint, and was just riding on pretty much pure luck for the first part of the season. And that is no more. Sonny Gray is now looking like the Sonny Gray that you and I were all over in draft season. And it's great to see from a 36-year-old. You always get, I always wonder if, especially with pitchers, 36, like I know I love my olds and everyone likes to make fun of me for that. But like when you see a major drop in skills early in the season, like we did with Sonny Gray at 36 years old, you're like, ugh, this could unravel quickly. But he has turned things around. More sliders and more four seamers for Sonny Gray. He's kind of ditched his curveball and ditched his cutter over his last few starts. That coincides with this pretty nice jump in skills. So I am a full go, full confidence in Sonny Gray. Nice to see him rebound and look like the Sonny Gray we thought he would entering the season.
Yep. He's in the top 20 on this, the right side of the screen there on pitch mix changes, as well as you mentioned with the changes he has been making. So that is great to see. Just real quick, Anthony Kay, I actually wrote him up for matchups for Wednesday just because I knew he's been pitching better of late. I was really surprised. And like, it doesn't jump out when he goes from a 5% K to walk to a 14% K to walk for a 9% increase. But 14% does help. It makes things more palatable when it comes to fantasy. Like, you can operate with that. And it goes deeper for Kay because early in the year, outside of two starts, he's limiting the damage. He just wasn't striking guys out. He's pitching to contact. That's not a profile I like to approach. But now he's usually going at least five innings, sometimes six innings of late. He's getting you quality starts and half of his starts. And we've seen the swinging strike rate increase while getting a ton of ground balls, Ryan. So the profile we're seeing with Anthony Kay is a guy that might be much more serviceable. I'd still pick my spots with Anthony Kay. Like, I believe he gets the Yankees on Wednesday night. Terrifying. They're hitting almost 300 versus lefties over the last month. But the profile going forward is very enticing.
And there's a nice spot to pick next week with Anthony Kay because we let off this show. Remember, we were talking about teams to stream against. We talked about Cleveland and the Royals. Anthony Kay gets a two-step next week against Cleveland and the Royals. That's an awesome spot for Anthony Kay. 17% owned in NFBC 12 teamers. So on paper, it looks great. We'll see what the result is. But from a process standpoint, this seems like a move you want to make. Someone who is improving gets a two-step with really good matchups. I will be looking to add and stream Anthony Kay in 12 teamers next week.
And then I just want to highlight this last one here because it seems like so many people in our Discord want to just jump off the Grant Holmes bandwagon. And I get it. It's frustrating. But we've seen him go from a 7% K to walk to a 15% last month. And that has coincided with a near 14% swinging strike rate, Ryan, which is beautiful. Now, there's a lot of other things that are concerning. The home run to fly ball is terrifying. The actual end results are not always ideal. So I get the concerns with Grant Holmes, not to mention the team kind of wants to move him to the bullpen. But there's a reason I've had trouble quitting Grant Holmes is when I see stat lines like this from him.
I just can't believe he's still pitching. Like, I thought he would be at Dr. Reattach by now. I think didn't he tear his UCL last year?
Yeah, he missed like the last month or so of the season. Like, he decided to rehab it instead of pitch, and he's actually pitching okay.
Yeah, he's pitching okay. The one thing to keep in context here with Grant Holmes is, yes, he's an improver, and this kind of goes for Anthony Kay a little bit as well. But, I mean, improving from a 7% K-minus walk to 15, which is, I think, right at league average.
Yep.
You know, yes, you are better. League, that's
very serviceable.
Yes. Agreed. I'm just saying, like, this isn't, I don't know. This isn't.
We'd love 20% plus. That's what we're shooting for. But yeah.
Yeah. But it is notable. He's missing a ton of bats. That is a nice call out there. I think Grant Holmes was the first pick in the Vegas Tommy John draft that you were unable to attend, but, surprise is still pitching.
Chico. all right. A little bit on the faller side of things. We spent more time on this one because I think it's more of our wheelhouse, K to walk, and we'll kind of hit the other ones here as well. But I don't have a whole lot of Ryan Nelson. I've never been a big Ryan Nelson guy. I feel like he's coming back to Earth.
Yeah, coming back to Earth. I also not a big Ryan Nelson guy. The next guy's interesting.
This is who we need to talk about. Parker Messick. This is a guy that it seemed like everybody was all, oh, I'm so glad he made the rotation, reserve picks, all these great things. Not saying they're wrong. I'm not making fun of people because it was a phenomenal start to things. But of late, it's getting a little more of a roller coaster, right? Early on, tons of Ks, limiting damage, life was good. Now the walks, like every start since May 13th, it's been almost two or more, a lot of three walk outings, and the strikeouts have disappeared with Parker Messick, which is weird because the swinging strike rate is still very good. So what are you seeing with Parker Messick? Part of me thinks it's a young arm that's kind of going through the ups and downs of a season. Could be totally wrong. But at the same time, like, the results are good enough, but they're not the guy that it looked like we were getting. We're getting an ace there for a while.
Yeah, and to be fair to Messick, like, the results still have been pretty good over the last month. It's a, 3.33 ERA, that's good, but only one win in five starts and a 1.30 whip. And yes, that goes back to the walks, right, that you were talking about. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm pulling up Messick's workload recently. That doesn't seem to be an issue through 140 innings last season, and he's only at 80 this year. So that doesn't concern me at all. Could just be someone going through some stuff right now. The good news is the velocity is still there. The swinging strikes are still there. It really is just a, not just, but it's just a control problem. You know, maybe just something mechanically that he can fix, but I don't know. If I'm in a non-trading league, if I'm in like an NFBC league, I'm still rolling Messick out there and just hoping he pitches through this next few starts at Milwaukee, at the White Sox versus Texas versus White Sox. It's not that bad. If I'm in a trading league, keeper league, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the market for Parker Messick, just because the surface ERA has still been good over the last month.
Yeah, surface stuff's good. Like you mentioned, in a non-trade, I'm pretty much not taking him out of my lineup unless something really crazy happens. But yeah, if you can go get a nice little return for him, improve your team, wouldn't be opposed to that in a trading format. That's for darn sure. Yeah. Connor Prelip. This is a player I have actually dropped in a few leagues of late. And we've seen him go from a 20% K to walk down to 10% this past month for a 10% dip for Connor Prelip. And it's been four in runs or more in four of his last five starts. The strikeouts have been okay still, but it's two plus walks almost every single time out there. What do you see when you look at Connor Prelip?
I see a lot of that. I mean, you've been on the drop train for Prelip for quite a bit. This is a good reason to do so. And also, like, unlike Messick, like, there are volume concerns with Prelip too. I don't see him making it through the entire season. Either just injury or the Twins shutting him down. So yeah, things are not trending well for Prelip. You have been on the drop train for quite a bit. I believe I listened to you. And yes, I did drop Connor Prelip in my Vegas auction. Like what I got from him, but I see a lot of the same things you're seeing. And yeah, it doesn't look great. Thank you for your service, though. It was a good, good few starts.
It's cool why it lasted. We could still be friends, but yeah, this isn't going to work for now. It's not you. It's me. Actually, it is you. But yeah,
it is. No, it is you.
Jose Soriano. I just had to bring this up because it's only fair, but 18% K to walk early on, best pitcher in baseball, down to 8% this past month. That's a 10% drop. And Ryan, as expected, the things that we fear from him are here. But I think it's more of a combination. We all knew he was overachieving before because the swinging strike rates are fine. Ground ball rates are fine. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are still kind of in line, I guess. But yeah, the walks have gone up each month, basically.
Yeah, the walks have sucked for Jose Soriano, but I'm still going to look at, and this is the reason why I like Soriano, is whiffs and ground balls. Like, those are two core skills for a pitcher. And even in this rough patch last month for Soriano, 14% swinging strike. That's really good. 57% ground ball rate. That is elite as well. So it's hard to have a bad ERA. I say this all the time, but hard to have a bad ERA when you miss a lot of bats and you generate a ton of ground balls. So even through this rough stretch, like, yes, the whip has been awful. 157 whip for Jose Soriano. Like, that is really bad. 3.62 ERA in that span, couple wins and five starts. So, like, I don't know. I like, if Jose Soriano, it's kind of the old Framber Valdez problem. Like, if Jose Soriano can somehow get like it doesn't even need to be league average walk rate, 9%, something like that. That can work given the whiffs and ground balls, but 13% that it's been over the last month, that is an issue, and that is going to hurt your whip.
Do you know who else has a on the season a 2.6 ERA and a 1.35 whip, but over the last 30 days 2.06 ERA, 1.29 whip? He has a 4.21 xERA, 50% ground ball rate, near 12% swinging strike rate. Looks really similar to Jose Soriano, who you like quite a bit. Do you know who that profile is, Ryan?
I mean, unless it's the guy that we're talking next on the board, I have no idea who the hell you're talking about.
It's Walbert Urena. Oh! So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I should have known that, right? Yeah, teammates too. And you've comped him to Soriano.
I've comped him to that for like day one. And then I was writing Walbert up for something for PT tomorrow or something. And I started laughing because it's so similar. Like, everything down. Like, just pull the two HQ pages up.
Yeah, I'm pulling up Urania now. I can't so even.
They're a little bit apart, but they're very, very close.
God damn it. No, well played. Not as many whiffs for Urania. Not as many whiffs. Not as many ground balls. He's a light version of
he's Soriano. Been better the last 30 days. But yeah.
Well, that's the only reason.
But overall, they're very similar. Yeah, like the ERAs, it's interesting.
Let's not talk. Walter Urania is not even on the damn board here.
To be fair, I figured you'd rather compare that because we could talk Shoto Imanaga, who's next up on the list.
All right, let's go back to Urania.
That's what I thought. Shota, as we like to call him here because I can't get his last name right, had a 22% K to walk to start the season, 12% over the last 30 days for a 10% drop as well. Shota has been bit hard by the home run ball of late, which is always going to be a problem with Shota. Yeah. K to walk, like we mentioned, is a massive drop there. I'll let you go from here, but what are your thoughts on Shota on this one?
I don't. I mean, like, what a roller coaster, right? Like the first 6 weeks of the season, Shota was just he was like the pick of the draft, and then just completely fell apart through it all. Yes, it's been homers. Like you're always going to live and die by the home run sword if you have Shota. That's always a thing. You're always checking the Wrigley wins account to see what the wind's doing before the start. I don't know. I'm not super worried. Like over the last five starts for Shota, it's been one walk every single start. The other one, it was two walks in Coors. Warren and run over his last two starts combined. Yes, both against the Rockies, but the Rockies haven't been like awful this season as an offense. So I don't know. I'm not reading too much into it. Like that rough patch was really rough from like late April through mid late May, but seems to be turning it around slightly over his last two starts again, both against the Rockies. So we'll see what happens. Shota also has one of the best schedules of any pitcher coming up as well. He gets Toronto and then at Milwaukee, his next two starts. So you like that. Both of those teams are below average against lefties. So I don't know. I really can't explain it. And I mean, I've actually watched a ton of Shota just because I have him on so many teams. I think it's just a few starts with some bad walks that has subsided. And then I don't want to even call it bad luck with the home run ball because it will bite him. He's a fly ball guy. That's what happens sometimes.
Yep. No, I just had to bring that up because you wanted to bash Mike. No, I was kidding.
Shota or Walbert rest of season. I know you love rest of season questions, but who are you rolling with?
Wow. It's actually
you're even thinking about this. Jesus.
I'll take Shota, but I want to take Walbert. Really, it's close. I know it's real close to me. Only a couple more I want to talk about on this list. Jesus Lizard, another great outing. On Tuesday, I was actually bored and started searching Twitter for all the people that said he sucked like a month ago when he had like two bad starts. So, yeah, he's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. I want to ask you about Emerson Hancock. This is the guy I'm actually kind of I'm not concerned, but I'm watching skills deteriorate from what we once saw early in the season from Emerson Hancock. He's not turned back into the pumpkin that he was last season. Not going to go that far. But over the last 30 days, we've seen an Emerson Hancock go from a 22% K to walk, 11% the last month for 11% drop off, one of the worst in baseball over the last 30 days. And it's coincided with a drop in ground ball rate, a drop in swinging strike rate, more balls, like everything you don't want to see has taken place, Ryan.
Yep. Hancock has not looked as sharp at all recently. 2-point drop in whiffs, 3-point uptick in ball rate. So you don't like either of those as well. So, I know we have a six man piggyback going on in Seattle right now.
They make movies down in West Hollywood about that stuff.
Yeah. I'd pay a premium myself to watch that one. But, I don't know, like Hancock. God. And his name is
Jesus. Yes. Just hand it to you.
on a platter here. I mean, Hancock could be the odd man out of this six man. If this continues, everyone wants Luis Castillo kicked to the curb, who is more a warm weather summer pitcher, has been pitched better lately. It could quietly be Hancock if this continues. It has not been nearly the same pitcher. And this is one where this is just a good example. Like I follow the Mariners a ton, so I know of these struggles. But like if you had Emerson Hancock, you know, you're victory lapping your first month and a half, you think you found this gem, and then kind of quietly he's been. Yeah, skills haven't been there lately. So just keep an eye on this one.
Yep, definitely. This could go from bad to worse if you're not careful. Randy Vasquez, I think he is who we thought he was. I have not much there unless you do.
The pumpkin. Yeah, whatever.
Keep going. He turned back into his pumpkin. The clock struck midnight. Clock struck midnight.
That's a Cinderella reference, isn't it, Bubba?
Look at you. At least you know that one. I'm proud of you. That's freaking awesome. You go to Disneyland one time and you figured it out. That's Cinderella's castle, by the way, if you're curious. Gotcha. Robbie Ray, he stinks. I've mentioned that so many times on the show. You wonder why he has a 1% K to walk? Because he walks everybody. It's not negative. I want to talk about Will Warren, though. Will Warren was a pitcher that was rolling 24% K to walk. Last month, 4% K to walk. That's a 19% drop by far. Like Robbie Ray's is 13%, by far the worst in all of baseball. It has gone downhill in a hurry for Will Warren. It's bad. That's the best way I can see it, because I've have him on a few teams and he's not even close to an auto start for me over the last like 3 weeks. No. I've been moving and shaking there. What are your thoughts when you look at Will Warren, who happy belated birthday, had a birthday on Monday, but this is getting bad. Where we mentioned Hancock could get worse, Will Warren, like if they ever had anybody else to take a spot in the rotation, like looking at you, Mr. Elmer Rodriguez, this could be a guy that's on the way out.
Yeah, agreed. Just not missing really any bats, Will Warren. 8% swinging strike over the last month. Like that is atrocious. You mentioned the walk uptick. That all boils down to a 154 whip over the last five starts for Will Warren. He's somehow gotten by with two wins and a 3.55 ERA, but like I don't see any redeeming qualities around Will Warren at this time. It looks very bad.
Yeah, you mentioned the 3.55 ERA comes with a 1.54 whip and a 5.4 XERA. Like,
yeah,
he is playing with immense fire at this point in time. So, buckle up. All right, let's switch over to the fastball velocity gainers. This is more just a look and see who's been awesome here. We'll dig into a couple of them, but the most insane part of this is the Miz is actually the biggest gainer of this whole thing. He's averaging like 101 miles an hour, which is stupid.
Yeah, I don't think we realize. I guess we do because his last start was so good and he was pumping 104, 105 in the ninth inning. So I guess we do realize. I do just want to like reiterate, Jacob Mizorowski has the highest jump in fastball velocity of any pitcher over the last month. And it started at 99.6.
Which was higher than anybody on this board.
I mean, like it's I don't even know what to like. He's pushing the limit of what a human can do.
It's like over 50 pitches has started almost feels like it's over 100 miles an hour.
It's this generation's Aroldis Chapman, I guess.
This generation's Nolan Ryan. That's what it is. Like Nolan Ryan used to be the hard thrower. Like he wasn't throwing gas, I guess, but he was the hard thrower back then. And everyone's like, how does he do it? Well, he takes an Advil. If you remember those commercials, anybody.
I do.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know where you want to even take this conversation because like,
oh, I got me, nothing. Just, I just like, wanted to highlight it's insane. It's
I don't know. We this is something a human has never been able to do before and do it this consistently. Does that mean the Miz is going to break?
Probably
at some point. Sure. I don't know when that will be. Is this
enjoy
like
the hell out of it?
Is it yeah exactly like is this the pick of the 2026 season? Yes. Like this is just, the dude has 100 or over 130 strikeouts, Bubba. We're not even halfway through the season.
Yeah. Let me see.
It's unbelievable. What he has done. This is a game changing pick, of which I have zero. I think you do too, but, I don't know, man, it's fun as hell to watch. I hope he can hold this for as long as he can. Cause at some point it's going to break, but it's been damn fun to watch.
Like just for reference to how good he's been this year. And I know it's not really hard to figure out, but put it in fantasy terms. Use the Fangraphs player rater. He is the number one rated player. And if you combine hitters and pitchers, he's getting right now a $43.80 return.
That's what I was going to follow up, but by how much?
Yeah. Second place, James Wood is $40.30. He's like $3.50 more.
Crazy
and man. An ADP difference of 114 to 38.
Yeah.
The next best pitcher is Christopher Sanchez at number 14. He's worth $29, almost a $15 difference between it's the unreal. First and second pitcher.
That's a really good way to frame it, because it is hard to explain just how much better Mizorowski has been than anybody this season, and how much of a game-changing pick he has been.
Like, none of us want to see him get hurt. I think we're all just realists going, eventually the wheels will come off this train. But it's one of those, like, even if he misses like 2 months, he might still be the top pitcher.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you are like, yeah, agreed. It's not even like victory lappable if he gets hurt next month, because it's the opposite of the damage has been done. The fruit has been harvested. I don't know.
Yes, the apple cart has already been rolled over. No, just kidding. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
The Miz is awesome. Joe Ryan, he's on both these boards, K-to-walk and the fastball gainers. He's a freak. Chris Sale still pumping it. I want to talk about your boy Sean Manaea, though. This is one that stands out because, you know, he was really struggling out of the bullpen. We thought he was done with baseball, shouldn't pitch anymore. Then he starts piggybacking, and we start seeing some improvements. Fastball's gone from 89.9 to 91, so a small increase, 1.1, but it's still fourth best over the last 30 days, which goes to show you that, again, the Miz is insane, because most people don't do a whole lot over that period of time. But what you're seeing with Sean Manaea, like you were mentioning, Ryan, and I even had him in a bunch of waterfalls this week, did not obtain him, but he's been very effective. I'll let you run with it, because this is a guy you've been excited about.
No, it's just, this is the type of fastball velo increase that I like to see, because A, it's not someone just gassing 98 where you're just like, okay, at some point he's going to break, and maybe Sean Manaea is going to break. But to go from like 89.9 up to 91, like that does matter. That does matter if you're Sean Manaea. He's also been able to sustain a low 90s fastball velocity in the past too. So like, this is a level for Manaea that you really like to see. On top of the velocity increase, Sean Manaea, again, if you look over to the right side of the board, on the screen we're showing on YouTube, number 4 in terms of pitch mix change over the last month, throwing more cutters that he didn't really even throw that many when the season started. So kind of getting back to what Sean Manaea does best, was movement on that 91 mile an hour fastball. When it cuts like that, he can be really effective. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, with Christian Scott on the IL, with the great Tobias Myers now in the rotation, Kode Senga in there, the rotation spot is safe. And as Michael Cicchini mentions in the comments, he's done this before. We've seen really good Manaea. Yeah, back to his 2024 mix. And second half 2024, Manaea was, you know, I'm old enough to remember, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball in that stretch.
Definitely. A few more here, like Gavin Williams has been awesome. His velo's gone up, and I wrote him up for matchups tomorrow, and his K to walk is still just insane. Like he's doing things right now. It's very impressive. I think it's like 33 Ks and like nine walks or something over the last month. And a half. It's nuts what he's pulling off. Trevor Rogers' velocity is up. The results have not been fully there, but like I'm, it's so close. I've really been watching a lot of his starts lately. It's like
I haven't one been, bad so. Inning. Okay.
It's one bad inning, and it's just like one time the manager let him come back out when he shouldn't have, like stuff like that. I'm just like, oh. So he feels like he's getting really close. The results aren't fully showing it. So maybe I'm just, it's fool's gold, but like Shane Baugh has brought it back together. And ironically, he's on the bottom of this board. Trevor Rogers seems like he's getting real close to finding that next step as well.
Always, always root for someone with Raj in the name. So I'll trust you on that. I don't know, man. Skills look pretty bad.
I know. I was looking at him. They don't look great, but if you just let me.
Yeah. No, that's the benefit of watching the starts. I haven't subjected myself to Trevor Rogers.
No, it's I don't recommend it. It's not for everybody. It's rough, but it's like 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 2/3, 3 runs, 5 2/3, 1 run. Those are his last 3 starts. Then he had the 6 innings, 4 runs. I think 3 of those came when they threw him back out in the 7th. Like, it should be 4 straight starts of 3 runs. Like, but he's only got 3 Ks, 3 Ks, 3 Ks, 4. So the Ks haven't been there, but it's 2 walks, 1 walk, 1 walk, 1 walk. So I'm saying he's getting closer to being like these there. But if he could rack the strikeouts up a little more, we might have something. So,
yeah,
that's where I'm going with that. Zach Wheeler's amazing. He did it again tonight, so nothing to worry about there. This one surprises me, seeing Taj Bradley. He's actually increased his velocity by 0.7 miles an hour. He's over 97 miles an hour right now. But my goodness, Taj Bradley, ever since he returned from the IL, seems like he is not the guy we were excited about before he went on the IL, right? It seems like the guy we saw last year more often than not.
Yeah, and this is where, again, we always say bloom board start of the conversation. Just because you have an uptick in velocity, it doesn't.
It's not always a good thing.
It's not always a good thing, especially in Taj Bradley's case when you've got a major walk problem, especially since.
And a major home run problem.
Major home run problem. That does not mix well at all. Wow, yeah, 21% homer to fly ball over the last five starts for the Taj Mahal. That's not going to hold, but. Still, double digit walk rate, you don't want to see that. Like, yeah, the velocity's up, but ultimately he's not missing many bats. It's a league average whiff rate, it's a league average K rate, and the walks have been back. So not a good recent stretch for Taj Bradley, but again, he's also one of the just like most volatile pitchers out. You just never know what you're going to get from this guy. He could next month could be elite again. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't know. I just can never pin him down.
It is tricky, I'll give you that, but it's one that I'll stay far away from. This is one that I've been slowly putting bids in on. I haven't won them because I don't bid high enough because I'm still nervous. But Andre Pallante, I saw his velocity go 0.7 miles an hour to 95.5 over the last 30 days. On Tuesday night, he threw 7 innings, 2 runs, no walks, and 6 Ks against the Padres, which is big. And over the last 30 days, Ryan, you're talking about a guy with a 2.96 ERA, a 1.1 whip and a 15% K to rock. I don't know. I know it's always frustrating. It's not elite, but it's one of those things where it feels like they're doing something there in St. Louis. We talked to Dustin May already. Pallante's looked like a whole different pitcher in the last month or so.
It's really been mostly just walk rate. It's been the main improvement for Pallante. He's throwing harder, but he's never really missed bats. He's still not missing bats. I still worry, like, he used to be an elite ground ball guy, and now it's just kind of mess. So I don't know, man. I'm not buying this. However, very nice
schedule.
Very nice schedule coming up. San Diego, Arizona, Miami, his next three. Pallante.
Yeah, that'll play.
Work. Yeah, that'll work. Play. So he's a streamer, and you stream based on the matchups, and the matchups for Pallante are pretty good. Number 13, easiest schedule of any pitcher the next 3 weeks per the planner.
And then you got Braxton Ashcraft. He's awesome. I know he's had a little bump in the road, but the skills are still very good. I wrote him up again for tomorrow's. A lot of these guys are on the matchups for tomorrow. I got nothing else on Ashcraft unless you do.
They're all in the matchups for tomorrow. I look forward to them doing the opposite of what we talked about them tonight. So it'll be most great. Likely.
I want to ask about Nick Lodolo, though, because I looked at him for the matchups for tomorrow, and there's nothing tomorrow? I like about him right now. It is absolutely brutal with Nick Lodolo. Velocity's down 0.5 miles an hour, so nothing crazy in that regard. But if you just go, I'm not even going to go box score shopping with him. Let's do a more global approach with Nick Lodolo. It's not great, Ryan. It's a 4 ERA over the last 31 days. The K to walk, it's 8%, which is not great. It's it's a kind of a mixed ground ball fly ball profile. He's given up the long ball more than he'd like. I don't see a lot to like with Nick Lodolo.
I don't either. This one hurts because Nick Lodolo was one of my favorite pitchers entering the season. I just love the skills, and the skills have just completely gone off. I wonder, there hasn't been like a major change. Like, he's throwing fewer sliders this season. I was kind of pulling that up as you were talking, just because with all the blister problems, like, is this, even though he's still throwing the slider, like, it's nowhere near as effective as it was. Same with the changeup. Basically, the swing strike on Lodolo's, all four of Lodolo's pitches are down. You just wonder, given the blister, given the recurrence of the blister, like, multiple times trying to ramp up this season, like, is he just not able to shape, to spin his pitches the way he was able to before? Like, that's kind of the only thing I can explain with this.
That makes sense, because yeah, he's pretty broken. Otherwise, I was really surprised when I looked at his overall profile tonight.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's a disaster.
All right, we talked to Strider, whatever. Will Warren, we already discussed, and we're very concerned there. We both said the velocity. Hey,
there's Walbert.
Oh, just wait.
He is on the boards.
Walbert Urania is right next to Jose Soriano. Shocker. Here we go again. It's like kismet, folks. They're both right next to each other. But right below Soriano is Shane Boz. And this is a guy similar to Trevor Rogers that I've been riding and dying with. And right now I'm riding with pretty well. He his velocity's down a mile an hour, down to 95.5, but maybe that's a good thing. I don't see him on your pitch mix change side of things. But over the last 31 days, the last month, we're seeing a guy with a 2.05 ERA. He's got a 10% swinging strike, which is more what we want to see. It's only 11% K to walk. I get it. But these are all improvements, is my point, with Shane Boz. These are things we want to see. And he's also going 6-plus innings in most of these starts. So I love what we're seeing from Boz. It's still volatile. Not going to deny it. But massive improvements from the way the season started.
Yeah, and I'm sometimes okay with a drop in velo. Like if it like you said, sometimes that can be a good thing, especially if the control improves. If the velo is down and the control goes haywire, like that's where I really get concerned about injury and just things getting worse from there. But to your point, Shane Boz control has been a lot better lately. 7% walk over the last month. Never really was missing a ton of bats, still isn't, but I think he's Shane Boz is not going to meet the preseason expectations that both of us have for him. That ship has sailed, as I like to say, on the pod. But
silly sailor, you.
Boz can elevate himself to be like a mid rotation type guy, and maybe that's just who he is. It's faint praise, but it's certainly better than the version we saw the first month and a half of the season.
And the last one I have here, we'll skip Grant Holmes, of course. Kaiway Teng, he's back to the bullpen. Bryce Miller, it's dropped 1.1 mile per hour. Results are still very good for Bryce Miller, so I'm not too concerned, but I'll throw the ball to you.
No, I'm not too concerned either. This is one, yeah, just look at, I could rattle off any skill that Bryce Miller's had. They're all elite. The Mariners are not concerned. Obviously, they're doing the rotational six-man piggyback in Bryce Miller because you just cannot get him out of the rotation right now. So I don't think this is injury. I think this is approach, and the approach is working out quite well.
All right. And quickly through the pitch mix change here, we won't talk about many of these, but I did like this is why it's great because we didn't see this name on either previous board, but Slade Ciccone is at the top of this board with the highest change, a 44 score. Over the last 30 days, a 15.3% K to walk, a near 29% CSW for Slade Ciccone. And I was kind of watching some of his start on Tuesday through the big inning. It's been a 3.6 ERA with a 3.79 xERA, so pretty legit over the last 30 days.
Yep.
I mentioned at a 10.5% swinging strike with a 50% ground ball. Like, this guy's starting to figure out and look like the guy like in the second half last year that we were all getting off the waiver wire.
Agreed. I think it's super important just looking at this pitch mix change. We've also got the strikeout minus walk and CSW color coded here. So you can see, you know, it's one thing to have a pitch mix change. Is it actually working or not is by far the bigger question. So there are some guys like Robbie Ray's on here. Great. He made a pitch mix change. Well, he sucks. So like,
it's not even on the barbecue red.
It's uncooked red. Yeah,
get a couple pant sizes bigger. Maybe you can throw a strike. Yeah,
keep going, man. Come on.
No, we're good. We're good. Giants didn't play tonight. Basically, it's rain out, so we're good.
Yeah, but it is important to, and that's why we've got those skills on there over the last 30 days. It's like, yes, are they changing the mix? But is it working? For all the reasons you just said, Ciccone, the big change for him has been pretty much ditching his four seamer, going to a cutter. Throwing it almost 40% of the time in June. So that's a massive change for Slade Ciccone, who has elevated himself to, I think, somewhat of a high-end streamer.
He's almost I'll call him a bench streamer. Like, you keep him on your team.
That's been your phrase this year. I think he fits into that. Yeah, you can bench stream him. As
don't want to drop
him after a good one. Exactly. Yep.
You'll want to use him more than you'll not. Bubba Chandler, already discussed him. Joey Cantillo, there's three guardians on this list, which says a lot about, they've always kind of been a weird pitching clinic that gets the most out of their guys. Cantillo's K to walk dropped quite a bit. His production has dropped quite a bit. Did you see anything with this pitch mix change? Because he's a guy that's been really close to the chopping block for me.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to find something, Cantillo, that he can throw for strikes. Like the control has been an issue entering the season for Joey Cantillo. It still is now. It's an 11% walk. Even the K's, I thought we'd see more K's from Joey Cantillo. It's a 21% strikeout rate. That's not great. That's below average. The whiffs are league average. So I think he's just trying to tinker with different things. It's not really working. And I don't know. I've got Cantillo on a bunch of 15 teamers. I actually thought about dropping him last week for kind of those reasons. I did not. He's still on my squads, but I don't know. He's entering that territory. Next few starts at Houston versus Seattle versus Texas at Minnesota. Maybe I use him for one or two of those in a 15 teamer.
Yeah, no, that's kind of like, he's still probably a bench streamer, but that's disappearing quickly with him.
Ciccone or Cantillo, awesome. Rest of the season.
I'll take at least next month.
You'll take Ciccone? Yeah,
okay. I'll take the skills right now and go that way. And I misspoke. There's four Guardians on this list because we talked about Gavin Williams already as well. Sean and I, we discussed, don't need to go there. Tanner Bibee, I don't have a lot to say besides he's looked really good of late. He's always showcased these skills. The results have been kind of fluctuating throughout the year, but he's looked really good of late.
Yeah, he's been fine. I don't know. He's a blind spot to me.
Yeah, you've never really been a
Cedric Mullins is the sweet spot or the soft spot.
Soft spot.
He's definitely not the sweet spot. He's the soft spot.
I mean, he's more the sour spot for you.
Yeah, the blind spot.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk about Ranger Suarez real quick here. 17.1% K to walk, 29% CSW, 29 grade on the pitch mix change. It's a guy that the results have not matched up to the changes here, even though the skills look very good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the skills look a little bit better for Ranger Suarez over the last month. So you like that. I don't know. Never a huge strikeout guy. He's bumped that up to 25% over the last month. So that's not bad. A few more whiffs for Ranger Suarez. The pitch mix change for him has been pretty boring, honestly. He's just throwing more four seamers and fading his changeup. You know, a lot of times I don't really care what the change is, just know that there was a change and then see if there's a change in skill. But usually I get more excited about someone who's kind of, you know, had traditionally overthrown their four seamer and is now mixing in more secondaries, more sliders changes. Ranger's doing the opposite. Throwing more four seamers and not really getting, usually when you do that, like your control improves, because typically of any pitch, your four seam fastball is the one you know to get over pitch. You can improve control that way. Hasn't really happened for Ranger Suarez. So I don't know. It's kind of a whole lot of like nothing for me. Like Ranger Suarez is somewhat of a reliable SP3 to 4. And I don't think this changes anything for me.
It's interesting that you got Connor Prelip, Kumar Rocker, Patrick Corbin, Eric Fede, all these guys that were streaming at one point, they've all hit the skids, and we've seen they are changing their pitch mix, but the results are not showing, to your point earlier.
Yeah. Gavin Williams is the big one. I know we mentioned him previously, but he's 22% awesome. K to walk. He's been awesome. It's been the curveball throwing that's become his primary pitch, throwing more curves, fewer four seamers, 31% usage on the curveball over his last few starts. Gavin Williams, it's looked quite good for someone with a really high ceiling.
Then there's good old Grant Holmes and Sonny Gray on the list as well.
Yeah.
Anybody else you'd like to mention on this list?
No, man. Good show. I think we covered probably a lot. 20, 30 names that some of them, like you said at the top, we'd expect. Others we would not expect, and that's the purpose of this exercise.
Most definitely. With that being said, let's take some questions here. We had one from the YouTube chat early on. Joe G says, Teal had two homers in his first rehab game. Do you drop Salvador Perez for Teal in a one-catcher 12-team roto?
Ooh.
Sure, if you want to. I'm not opposed to it, but let's make sure Teal gets called up. He rehabbed before and tweaked his knee again, and we lost him for a bit. So I'd like to see him get called up personally, but if you want to, go for it.
Yeah, not an egregious move in a one-catcher.
Yeah, in a one-catcher, I'm not too opposed to that. From the old Discord here, just Dustin's and Anderson goes, the Miz, wow. Ben Tidd, how long until the Miz's elbow explodes? God, so mean. Andy Splinter says, Cleveland seems to be switching things up. Four starting pitchers on the leaderboard, all with some decent success. Yes. Yep. Canton Dog says, you think Bryce Elder will be able to increase his velocity while playing piggyback with Castillo? Giddy up.
Many ways we could go with that answer.
Oh, I have held back on so many comments on this between the Discord, the show, Twitter. Like, I wanted to just unleash my stupidity. And then Adam Brunson says, in response to when Mrs. Elbow explodes, Noah Syndergaard 2.0 is what I told my son when he asked that very question, and probably not too far off there, sadly enough. But we didn't have any questions, just a lot of comments.
Yeah, we ultimately did not have any questions. And I love how we both, and I think you made the right call. You kind of called out Canton Dog, who technically asked a question. Don't think it's a serious question. He just wants his name on air. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to do it. It's part of it's tradition.
Part of the shtick.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good show. I like, that's why I love these bloom boards, and especially the live ones, because they're updated every day. Ryan clicks the buttons, and the numbers get upgraded. We have the hitter boards, the pitching boards, always some really cool stuff. Some of the many tools you can get on the Patreon, there's those. There's the minor league leader board. There's the weekly planner. Ryan mentioned the pitching schedule coming up. Like, there's hitter projections. There's a ton of stuff that goes behind the scenes that you can enjoy to keep you up to date for the fantasy baseball season. So any final thoughts?
No, we'd appreciate any support, especially dog. We're entering dog days, so we're starting to see folks head over to the Pigskin. But if you enjoy the show, support us over on Patreon. We appreciate it.
Yep, we'll be with you all season long and all off season. We don't stop in this neck of the woods, and we'll be back with you guys Thursday evening for, wait for it, your week 14 Fab preview. Like, my goodness, how time flies by. We'll get you ready for another week in Fab and get ready to cover up all the injuries we have now and will have over the weekend. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intric, and this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 356. Catch you all next time.